Every time I listen to that song, I'm reminded of what my cousin told me back when that song was becoming popular. He reminded me that we actually played basketball against Zach Williams when he was in school up in Northeast Arkansas. He actually attends and belongs to the church where my sister is a member. And you just never know how God is going to raise someone up to use them. Back in that day, Zach would have never thought that he would today be one of the most popular Christian artists, having songs that are really leading people to worship Jesus Christ. So what a blessing to know that God can break any chain and use us in an amazing way. I invite you this morning to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. We're going to be focusing on verses 1 through 25. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 1 through 25. As a young boy, I attended several weddings growing up. And there was always a part during the wedding ceremony that perplexed me as a child. When the pastor came to this point in the service, the exchanging of the vows, and he would name the groom and would say, "Do you take this awful woman to be your wedded wife?" And then he would repeat the same thing with the woman, naming her, saying, "Do you take this awful man to be your wedded husband?" I thought it so strange that the pastor was telling the congregation, the people attending, just how awful these two people were that they were marrying. But I did think at least they know what they're getting into. They're each marrying an awful person. Of course, I finally started listening more carefully and learned that the pastor was not saying awful, but he was saying lawful. It may have even been the Arkansas accent that prevented my hearing. So I don't know. We Arkansans, we speak English correctly, though. So, but for quite some time, I just rolled with it. I just assumed that the pastor was calling the bride and the groom awful. I never was intentional to follow up to make sure that what I'd heard it correctly. How we listen is so important. Last September, I preached a two-part sermon from Luke chapter 8 entitled, "How to Listen to a Sermon," and I got a lot of good feedback from you guys on that. That message, "How to Listen to a Sermon," it was drawn from Luke chapter 8, where Jesus teaches the parable of the soils. Here in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 25, we have Mark's parallel account of Jesus giving the parable of the soils. Now, though Mark's parable differs in a few places, just in some minor ways, the thrust of Mark's parable is the same as the thrust of Luke's parable. Mark is showing us that Jesus makes a big deal about how we listen. Jesus teaches us through this parable that not all listening is the same. Not all hearing is equal. There are different kinds of hearing. Now, just by way of reminder, remember that a parable is a comparative story that Jesus would tell. He used this type of speaking technique often. It was a comparative story he would tell to try and emphasize some truth or truths connected to the gospel or the kingdom of God. Jesus did not tell parables just to entertain a crowd. He did not tell parables just to give a mere story. No, they always pointed beyond themselves to spiritual truth connected to the gospel and the kingdom. He told parables to evoke a decision from people, to provoke their thought processes so that they would come to a point of thinking in such a way that it would lead to repentance and faith. In this parable, we find out that Jesus is emphasizing the importance of hearing. 12 times. I won't go through them right here, but verses 3, 9, 12, 15, 16, 18, 23, and 24, Jesus makes reference to listening and hearing. That's the primary emphasis we see through this parable. And so Jesus' main point to us through this parable is that everyone who's in here this morning who hears the voice of this pastor speaking must pay close attention to how they hear the gospel and the word of God. Everyone must pay very close attention to how they listen to the gospel and the word of God. Now, this passage breaks down similarly to the way Luke's passage broke down. The first part of it, Jesus teaches the crowd publicly through this parable. Then there's a break where Jesus explains to his disciples why he teaches in parables. And then the third section, Jesus interprets to his disciples the parable privately. He explains to them what his point was. So let's look at the text together, starting in verse 4, as Jesus is going to begin teaching the crowd publicly the parable of the soils. Chapter 4, verse 1. He, Jesus, began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea. He sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them in his teaching. So here's the picture that Mark paints for us. Jesus has this large crowd on the seashore. He gets into a boat on the sea. Now, back in this day, this would have provided natural acoustics for Jesus' voice to carry so that he could have been clearly heard by a very large crowd. And so Jesus begins to teach them in parables. And one of the parables he uses to instruct them is the parable of the soils. Now notice in verse 3 how he begins to teach. Notice the very first word in verse 3. Listen. Listen to this. The word listen here, it means to hear in such a way as to pay close attention so that after you hear, you actually respond to what you have heard in the proper way. So it's not just audible hearing through the physical ears, but Jesus is saying, make sure that as I speak and I teach in this parable, you don't miss what I am saying through the parable. So stay alert. I encourage you this morning, everyone here, stay alert to what Jesus is saying through the parable of the soils. Verses 3 through 8 contain the parable itself. And we find out in this parable that there are three components, three major elements. There's a sower, so this would be a farmer. Then there is the seed. And then there are various kinds of soils, road soil, rocky soil, thorny soil, and good soil. So Jesus tells us, listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. So here's the picture back in this day of a farmer. He's got a bag of seed, and they're sowing. Their farming techniques differ from ours today. Today, we will plow a field up and then plant. Back in this day, oftentimes, they would take seed and just begin to cast the seed onto a field, and then they would plow after they had cast the seed. And so through this technique, this way of casting seed, the seed would fall onto all different kinds of soils. Jesus tells us there were four different kinds of soil. Look in verse 4. The first kind of soil is road soil. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. There were often times there would be hard paths that were used to walk through a field. And so as the farmer's casting the seed, this very, very hard dirt, there would be seed that would land on it. And so Jesus tells us this seed ends up being unproductive. It's so hard that the birds just fly down and they eat it up off of the road. There's a second kind of soil. This is the rocky soil. Look in verse 5. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. So picture a kind of rocky foundation, and there's just a little bit of surface soil on top of that rock. Jesus says seed would fall onto that kind of soil, and notice what happens. It immediately springs up because there's not much thickness of soil, but notice what happens. Because it had no depth of soil, verse 6, when the sun rises, it scorches it. And because it has no root, it withers away. So this is a rocky soil, no depth, roots cannot take hold. The sun beats down upon it. Because there's no root to draw moisture, the plant dies. But there's a third kind of soil. This is the thorny soil. Verse 7, other seed fell among the thorns. And the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Now, the thorny soil pictures soil that's just taken over by weeds. So you can imagine some seed falls down in between all of the weeds and the thorns. And because they're so dense, they're blocking the sunlight from getting to the seed. They're soaking up all the moisture in the ground. And so these weeds just end up choking that seed so that it becomes unproductive. But there's a fourth kind of soil. Verse 8, other seeds fell into the good soil. So this is the soil that the seed takes root in. And they grew up and they increased. And there's this abundant crop from the seed that falls in the good soil. It yields a crop of 30, 60, and even 100-fold. Now, from my research, what I read back in this day, if you had a crop that returned a 10-fold harvest, that was a great crop. But here Jesus says, this farmer is out farming, and for every seed he plants that falls in the good soil, he gets 30 seeds back. In other places, he gets 60. In another, he gets 100. So there's a great return. And then Jesus closes this parable in teaching with this admonition, verse 9. He was saying to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He begins it with the command to listen. He teaches them this parable. The planter goes out to sow, plant seed, different kinds of soils, different kinds of results, and then he closes the parable. The one who has ears needs to listen to what I have just said. So Jesus teaches the parable publicly to the crowds. Well, that brings us now to some transitional verses, verses 10 through 12. We find out that as soon as Jesus is away from the crowd, that there were some following along with Jesus in addition to his 12 disciples. So there were others who were with him. And they begin to question Jesus in verse 10, asking him about the parables. See, these disciples and these other followers, they didn't immediately get Jesus' point. But you can see here, they're picking up on the fact that Jesus said, listen, he who has ears to hear, let him take care how he hears. So even though they don't immediately get the point, they've been listening to Jesus and they're following up with Jesus. And so what Jesus does is he uses this time to teach them on why he uses parables so often in his ministry. In verse 11, Jesus says to them, to you it's been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside, they get everything in parables. So in this verse, Jesus distinguishes between those who understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God and those who do not. Now, the word mystery here, it refers to something in the Old Testament, some truth that was hidden and not revealed. But now, with the coming of Jesus, it's been revealed by God in this present time. Now, the mystery of the kingdom, it refers to the truth about the kingdom of God. And it's this truth that God's rule, God's salvation, has finally come in the person of Jesus Christ. God's kingdom's come because God's king has finally arrived. And through the king that God has sent into this world, he is now offering salvation and rule to those people who will trust in him. That mystery is that everything that God's been building up to at this point is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ, his life, his mission, and his message, the gospel, the good news about who he is and what God is doing through him. Jesus says to those who are willing to believe, to those who are willing to believe, they'll get understanding. They'll know more about this kingdom. But to those who are not willing to believe, that's those on the outside, they're not following with Jesus. They're staying behind. They don't care to learn more. They will not understand the mysteries of the kingdom. And so then Jesus finishes up in verse 12, and he says, he speaks in parables so that while seeing, they may see and not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. Here Jesus quotes Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10 concerning his use of parables. Now, to understand what Jesus is doing here, you have to understand what happened in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Just to condense that situation there. God's people, they've rebelled against God over and over for such an extended period of time. Their hearts have grown so callous towards him that God is now about to judge his people. He's going to send them into exile. They have had their time of repentance, and now God's going to judge them. And God calls Isaiah to be his prophet. And he raises up this man, and he's going to send Isaiah to preach to these rebellious, hard-hearted, callous Israelites. But God tells Isaiah something in advance that's really a disappointment for him in his ministry. Isaiah, you're going to go and preach, but the people are not going to listen to you. You're going to go preach, but you're not going to see fruit from your preaching ministry. In fact, the people are going to hear you, but they won't really hear you. They're going to see, but they won't really see what you're talking about. God was judging these hard-hearted people, and he's raising up a prophet who's going to preach, and the word of God is going to be such a turnoff to them that it's going to harden their hearts even more to hear the preached word of God. And so Jesus quotes this verse, and what he seems to be showing his disciples is that he sees some kind of a prophetic paradigm in his own ministry that was foreshadowed in Isaiah's. Jesus is the Son of God. Isaiah was the prophet of God. God raises up him to preach to the people, and God tells Isaiah, they're going to reject you. But something greater was being foreshadowed that would happen in the ministry of God's own Son. He would preach. People would hear, but they wouldn't really hear. They would see, but they really wouldn't understand. They would not be rejecting merely a prophet of God. They would be rejecting the Son of God himself. There's this escalation. And so Jesus uses parables to show the hardness of men's hearts. He would speak, but these crowds would not be like the disciples and the followers. They would not press in to learn more. They would show that they did not care about what the Son of God had said because they didn't follow up to ask for further understanding and truth. What we see in this text is that to those who would respond in faith and belief, Jesus would give more knowledge. But to those who were not willing to follow up and to ask the questions and to seek, they didn't get more understanding. I love what one writer says, the way he explains this. It would have been of no use explaining the parable's meaning to those who had not taken the first step of thinking over the illustration. The final purpose of parables is to reveal truth, not to conceal it. However, there is a time when parables are the best way to reveal truth, for they filter and strain the listeners as we might filter a liquid through a fine cloth to purify it. So when Jesus spoke in parables, he's able to filter through those who really wanted to understand and those who just wanted him to go on. Those who really wanted to understand this day when Jesus was teaching the parable of the soils were his disciples and those others who were following with him. To those who wanted to know more instruction, Jesus would give it. But he tells us here plainly, to those who don't want to know, the light you've been given, you won't be given anymore. So Jesus teaches the crowds publicly the parable of the soils. He explains generally to his followers why he teaches in parables, and then he concludes by interpreting this parable privately to his disciples. And we see this starting in verses 13 and following. Now, verse 13 is actually a mild rebuke by Jesus to the disciples. He says to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?" Jesus actually expected, after all the time that the disciples have spent with him, that they would have actually had more understanding. And Jesus rebukes them that they are not there yet. But even though he rebukes them, he compassionately grants them more understanding because they have sought that understanding out. And so Jesus goes on to explain the three elements of his parable: the sower, the seed, and the soils. So looking in verse 14, he says, "The sower sows the word." So the sower here represents Jesus, represents one of the disciples, an apostle, represents any preacher. The seed represents the word of God, primarily the gospel. The soils, they represent different kinds of hearing. They represent different kinds of, think of it this way, different kinds of heart responses. The way people, once they hear, what do they do after they hear the gospel and the word of God? And so Jesus explains these different kinds of soils. Verse 15, "These are the ones who are beside the road." So this is the roadside soil. "When the word is sown, when they hear, immediately Satan comes, he takes away the word which has been sown in them." So Jesus says there is a kind of hearing where people, they listen to preaching, they listen to teaching, and it has no chance of really ever doing anything in their lives because their heart is so hard that Satan just comes up, snatches it, and they've forgotten it as fast as they've heard it. And so the devil steals it away. We really do have an enemy of the faith who steals the word from people's hearts. That's the roadside soil. Then there's the rocky soil, verses 16 and 17. Jesus says in a similar way, "These are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy." So there's a kind of person, when they hear the gospel, there's just like this quick response. They're just ready to say, "Oh, yes, I'll pray and ask Jesus to come into my life. Oh, sure, I want to be a follower of Jesus." There's this immediate response to following. But notice what happens, Jesus says, with this kind of a response. "They have no firm root in themselves. They're only temporary. Then, when affliction, persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away." See, the Bible teaches us that if we're going to be Christ followers, persecution's not just optional, but it's actually going to happen. It's essential. It's going to happen to believers in the world. To follow Jesus Christ will cost you something, some type of trial and affliction, suffering for your connection to Jesus Christ and to his gospel. Jesus says there's a kind of hearer that they'll hear the word, they'll say, "Sign me up, I want on board." But when life gets hard, suffering for Jesus, when the world pushes back against them for having a commitment to him, to his word, to his church, it's temporary. They're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. Man, I was thinking about heaven. I was thinking about I don't want to go to hell, but I did not sign up to suffer for this Jesus Christ. I didn't sign up for trials and afflictions to be associated with my faith." And so what does Jesus say? It's temporary. Doesn't last. They fall away. They abandon their commitment to the word of God, to the church, to the scriptures. That's the rocky soil. Then there's the thorny soil. Look at what Jesus says in verse 18. "And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in, choke the word out, and it becomes unfruitful." There's a kind of hearer who seems to believe. They hear the gospel. They seemingly repent and believe in Jesus. But as they go on in their supposed walk with the Lord, time begins to show something else. there's never really this sold out commitment to Jesus, but Jesus says these people who hear in this way, there are other things in the world that draw them away. It's the deceitfulness of riches, their pursuit of money and greed, that becomes the prominent commitment in their life. There are other pleasures in life that matter more to them than Jesus Christ and their commitment to him. And Jesus tells us that this gospel, this word they heard, it never takes root to a point to where it becomes fruitful. Notice what Jesus said in verse 19. The word becomes unfruitful in their lives. Other things from the world enter in and choke it. So it never has this desired effect in their lives. But then we see verse 20. Jesus says, and those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil. Notice, Jesus only says this about the good soil. There's a kind of hearer, when they hear the word, they really accept it. It goes down into their heart. It takes root. And notice what happens. They accept it and they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. There is this implantation of the word of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. When it gets into their heart, it leads to true conversion, true salvation, true transformation, a life that becomes like Jesus Christ, an obedience that flows out of their heart to the word of God, and it produces missional living for Jesus. They become fruitful. Do you see what's at center stage in this parable? This parable is not about how to go out and preach the word, though there is a little bit of that here. Jesus is not teaching us how to preach the word. Jesus is teaching us how to listen to the word when it's preached, when it's taught, when it is read. Hearing is his main emphasis. I want you to go back to chapter 4, verse 3. Notice how Jesus emphasizes this. Verse 3, how does he start it? He says, listen to this. Look down in verse 9. He was saying to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then Jesus even extends this parable with another metaphor. Look down in verse 24 of chapter 4. Take heed what you listen to. What you hear from the word of God, you better make sure you pay close attention to hear it and respond in the appropriate way. 12 times Jesus mentions hearing, listening in this parable. And it underscores the most important point Jesus is making. Everyone must pay close attention to how they listen to the gospel and the word of God. There's no doubt from this passage that there is the right way to hear and there's a wrong way to hear. There's a correct way to hear the word of God. There's a careless way to hear. There's a genuine kind of hearing. And there's a superficial, pretentious kind of hearing. There's a hearing with the physical ear, but there's also a hearing with the spiritual ears. And it's only when we hear with the spiritual ears that it actually impacts the heart the way it should. People have hard hearts, Jesus is teaching us. Nothing has changed since the days of Isaiah. Just as God's people rejected him then, people are rejecting the word today. And the reason they do it, the ultimate reason, they have hard hearts. Their hearts are hard. They're calloused to God's truth. Many are not willing turn from their sin, to repent, and to believe so that they might be forgiven. The parable of the soils. Everyone must take pains, pay close attention to how they listen to the word of God. I want you to see this morning three applications from Jesus' parable. The first thing that I want you to see in this text is that there are many obstacles to fruitfulness for the word of God in our lives. There are many obstacles for the Word of God, the gospel, to bear fruit in our lives. Fruitfulness in this context in verse 20, it refers to those who have truly been converted, those who have experienced salvation in a genuine way. They've been converted, made alive in Christ, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They've truly repented. They've believed in Jesus Christ, surrendering their life to Him. And this has produced a transformation in them. They're becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. They approach the Word of God with an obedient heart, and their lives are marked by missional living. They are taking seriously what it means to follow Jesus Christ and to make Him known in this world. This parable makes clear, though, that there are many obstacles to fruit bearing. There are many things that hinder the Word of God from taking root in a person's heart. We see up in verse 15 that Satan is an obstacle to the Word penetrating the hearts of some people. We do have a real adversary who is against us. He is roaming about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He is the father of lies, and he is the one who is behind all deceitfulness. And his job is to steal the Word of God from the hearts of men and women. Not only do we see Satan as a true obstacle, but we see suffering as a true obstacle. There are people who hear the Word of God and their faith seems to be real, but Jesus shows us that when the heat is turned up, so to speak, when they have to choose between Jesus Christ and suffering or an easy way of life, they abandon their commitment to Jesus to show that it was never true in the first place. So suffering is a hindrance. All of the trials that can happen to a person because of their association with Christ. But we also see the worries of the world, the pleasures of this life. There are so many things that the world peddles to us and tells us, if you'll just pursue this, if you'll just bank out here and you'll camp your life out after these riches and this sex and these drugs and this alcohol and this kind of prestige and this kind of job and this kind of fame, this kind of life, this will be the most rewarding thing to you. And there are people who hear the Word of God. They seem to be believers, but man, their heart's actually with those other things. It was never truly with Jesus Christ. The Word never bears fruit. All these listeners, the roadside soil, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, guys, they're tragedies. They're tragedies of hearing. There's nothing to celebrate. Jesus gives us no hope for these kinds of soils. There's nothing good that takes place with these kinds of soils. They are tragedies of listening. The Word never takes root in the hearts of these kinds of people who have listened to the Word of God and the gospel in this way. It never produces a harvest. Just a few months ago, there was someone in our office, and I was confronting this individual with the way they were living life, and I was just very blunt with them. Based upon what this person had confessed to me and the way he had been living life, I just told him, does it ever occur to you that the way you've been living life actually demonstrates that you don't know the one who actually changes lives? And you know what he said to me? I know I'm lost. All I did years ago is walk an aisle. I never truly repented, and I never believed in Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is talking about here. That actually takes place. Listen, Jesus is giving a warning this morning about the obstacles to hearing. This is a warning to those people who just come to church on Sundays. They listen to the Word of God and they leave here and their lives are never changed. Listen to what Jesus is saying. That kind of hearing is not going to result in salvation. Listen, if all you do is come to church on Sunday and the Word's not taking root in your heart and it's not making you more like Christ and you're not becoming more Christ-like, listen, you've never heard the way Jesus teaches us to hear. Can I be as honest with you as I can because I care about you and because I don't want you to go to hell? You are lost this morning. Today is the day that you need to get right with Jesus Christ and hear the gospel for the first time so that you repent and so that you believe. There is a kind of hearing where you can come to church, listen, and the word is stolen as soon as you get out the doors. It never makes an impact on your life. That's a real kind of person and hard-heartedness. But this is also a warning to us who know those, or maybe we're even one of them, where we seem to start well for Jesus, but man, when life gets hard, we bail. Jesus tells us it's not just how you start, but it's how you finish that matters. Yes, we do value in the scriptures the promise of God that once saved, we're always saved. But do you understand the whole promise wrapped up in once saved, always saved? It's once saved. You must actually be saved in the first place. Listen to what D.A. Carson says about this. Our past participation in the blessings of the gospel, listen to this, this is so good. Our past participation in the blessings of the gospel is valid only if we continue in it. Jesus tells us if you don't continue, if it's temporary, you show that you never truly believed. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, John tells us, those who have gone out from among us, they show us the fact they didn't finish, they were never truly of us. How we finish matters. This is also a warning, though, to those who say they love Jesus, but in essence, they really love the things of the world. We're told in the Bible that we cannot be friends of the world and also friends with God. Jesus tells us, if you profess to have really heard my word, but you're living the ways of the world for the things of the world, you're pursuing those things, Jesus says, this is a warning, you've not heard the way you should hear. I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ got a hold of my heart, I was willing to do what my Lord and Savior wanted me to do. I was willing to bow the knee to my King. And I said, Jesus, all these things I've been living for, I will lay them down and I will go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I will say what you want me to say. I was willing to break with the world. And that's what Jesus teaches us happens in the heart of someone who truly hears his gospel. See, there are many obstacles to bearing fruit with the word of God, the gospel in a person's heart. But number two, I want you to see this in this text. The sowing, the sharing of the word, it will produce an abundant harvest. There is negative in this parable because Jesus focuses on it, but he doesn't end it on a negative. Look in verse 20 again. There are those on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit. Jesus ends this parable on a positive note. Yes, there will be people who hear. The devil will steal it. They don't want to suffer for me, and they'll pursue the things of the world, and they'll show that they were superficial and pretentious, and they never truly believed. But guys, there are going to be those that the word's gonna fall upon. And notice, they're gonna accept it. It's gonna penetrate their heart, and it's going to lead to productive Christian living. People will believe, people will confess their sins, people will be saved, people will be radically changed, people will obey my word, people will give their lives up to take this message to as many people as possible so that they can experience the change that they themselves have known. Praise God that we don't have to get hung up on the soils in which the word does not take, but we can rejoice and be glad in the fact that the gospel is so powerful that it will break through some hard hearts and it will produce an abundant crop. Most of you know that I grew up in Northeast Arkansas. I lived out in the country in my hometown of Truman. Our house is just literally surrounded by acres and acres of nothing but fields. Every summer, I always anticipated the farmer who plowed those fields around our house to come along and to begin planting seed. When Michael Adams would show up, they would till the ground, and then they would bring their planter along, and they would plant those cotton seeds. And in the process of planting those cotton seeds, some of that seed would get thrown out to the side on the road that the trucks would drive up and down on and the tractors would ride on. That seed would get run over, the plants would get run over, and it never produced a crop. Then there were other patches throughout the field where the seed fell, and for whatever reason, those seeds, they just didn't take in those cotton rows for some reason. And those plants would be short and stubby. They never grew up like they should. They were choked out for some reason. But I'll tell you, when I would look out on the fields after weeks after they had planted, you could see the seed that had fallen into the good soil. As those cotton plants began to grow and to grow, and there was this abundant harvest. What Jesus wants us to see in this text is, Lakeland, if you'll keep planting, if you'll keep sharing the gospel, if you'll keep witnessing, there will be a harvest. Because my word will not return void. If you will plant the seed, if you don't give up, and you will have those gospel conversations, you'll invite people to church to hear the gospel, my word is going to fall on the hearts of people who will hear it rightly. And they'll respond by repenting and believing. Here's the question we got to ask ourselves. Are we willing to keep planting? Are we willing to keep having those conversations? Do we care enough about those people and about the mission that Jesus has given us to keep scattering our seed, not making judgments, but letting God do his thing once we plant it and we see it grow up into an abundant harvest? Jesus is encouraging us to be those who plant, because when we plant, we will see a harvest. And then last of all, this morning, I want you to see this truth, that our level of fruitfulness as individual believers, it hinges on the way we respond to God's word. Our level of productive Christian living, it hinges on the way we respond to God's word. Jesus brings this out in verses 21 through 25. Look at what he says. He uses another metaphor to follow up the parable of the soils. He was saying to them, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket or hidden under a bed. So you don't light a lamp and then cover up the light under a basket or under a bed. Jesus says, that's just foolish. Is it not brought to be put on a lampstand? You actually light a lamp, put it on a stand so that it gives light to the room so people can see to dispel darkness. Verse 22 seems to explain what Jesus is talking about in verse 21. He says, for nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret but that it would come to light. What Jesus basically seems to be saying here is that those on whom the seed has actually fallen, good soil, eventually, it's going to show that it's good soil. It may take a little bit of time, but it's going to show that it's good soil. You cannot hide the fact that you're a believer who's believed the gospel, and that gospel has taken root in your life, because Jesus says you will become a light for God. You're going to witness for him, glorify him in your words, in your works, and in your witness for him. That cannot be hidden. Anything that's hidden is going to come to light, Jesus says. You're going to show yourself for who you are. Then look in verse 23 and following. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus is saying, put on your listening ears again. Don't miss what I'm saying. He was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you, and more will be given besides. So here's what he's saying. The measure or the attention you give to the word of God, that is going to affect the kind of witness you are for God. And all of that is wrapped up with the way you listen to the word. See, we can't get away from the word of God here, how it's connected to productive Christian life, to holiness, to obedience to the word, to a mission where we commit ourselves to disciple and to make Jesus known. And Jesus says, to the one who listens, to the one who takes this book when he reads it and he understands it and applies it, to the one who comes to Sunday school class, listens to that word and applies it, to the person who listens to preaching on Sunday, takes that word home and applies it to their life, God says, I'll give you more. If you'll receive it, I'll keep giving it to you. But there's a warning, Jesus says, for whoever has, to him more will be given, verse 25, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. How you and I hear God's word, listen to this, Lakeland, it can't be covered up. Jesus is telling us here, you want to know who's really listening? Just look at their life. You can't cover up a person who takes the word of God seriously. Because if they're taking it seriously and they're listening the way they should, man, their life's going to look like Jesus. They're going to follow Jesus where Jesus goes. They're going to be on mission like Jesus was on mission in this world. Jesus is saying, listen, you can't fool people. People can look at your life and they can tell whether or not the word of God is truly taking root. It's going to be evident to everyone by our works and by our witness. If we hear with true faith and we respond in obedience, God will change our lives. This parable is calling us to appreciate, to value, to desire, to study, to read, to apply, to respond to the word of God. Lakeland Baptist Church, if you're faithful to Jesus this year, out of all the opportunities we provide and God provides you, you have 365 days this year to open your Bible and read it in private devotion. You have 52 Sundays, including some Sunday nights, to come and to hear a sermon that is preached. 52 Sundays to sit in a Sunday school class and listen to a Sunday school teacher deliver a message from the Word of God. This parable, it is calling us, take heed to what you hear. When you hear Morgan or you hear Cody or Mitchell or Jesse or myself or your Sunday school teacher teaching, take heed to what you hear. Don't just let it fall off your, roll into your ears and fall out and it never gets to your heart and you do something with it. Jesus rebukes that kind of hearing. You need to listen with spiritual ears. Make sure that you're responding the way that you should. We've got a slide I want to pull up this morning. Do we have that slide ready? Jesse Payne is our discipleship pastor. I want all of you to do this if you're struggling. The most important time in the Word of God for you is going to be the time that you spend each day apart from our public gathering together. This parable applies to that time in your life, not just to read the Bible, but to read it, understand it, and apply it in your life in a way you obey what Jesus is saying. Jesse is available to anyone in here who is just saying, you know what? I try to read my Bible, but I'm really struggling on how to understand it and apply it to my life. He is available for you to send him an email, jpayne@lakelandbaptist.org. He will set up a time with you so that he can simply walk you through what it looks like for you to study your Bible in a way that you can get the most out of it, to hear the way Jesus wants you to hear. Now, everybody should have gotten one of these handouts in your bulletin, so I want you to pull it out this morning. This is application. This is a homework assignment for every day until we meet again next Sunday. Last year, Jesse took some time, two Sundays, to teach us a way to study our Bibles. We're using the HEAR journal method, H-E-A-R. It's an acronym. It stands for highlight, explain, apply, and respond to the text. So if you were reading this passage we just preached through on your own, the parable of the soils, Mark chapter 4, 1 through 25, this is what you would do on a piece of paper, a journal, your computer, whatever you want to use to get the most out of God's word. You're going to highlight that text, Mark 4, 1 through 25. So you've read the text, and now you're just going to take a sentence or two, and you're going to explain Jesus' main point or the New Testament writer's main point in that text. Here's the main point of the parable of the soils. This passage teaches me that everyone must pay close attention to how they listen to God's word in the gospel. That's the main idea. That's easy. You've explained the text. Well, then you want to move on. As you're thinking about that main idea, what does it mean for my life? Let's look at the apply section. You can make this as long or as short as you want. This parable tells me that I'm not supposed to hear God's word with only my physical ears, but my spiritual ears as well. That means I'm willing to internalize what Scripture says, and I'm willing to walk in obedience to it. This requires engagement, requires effort, requires diligence when I hear God's word preached or when I read it on my own devotional time. That's what it means. That's how you're applying Jesus' main idea to your own life. And then the last point is response. So you've explained it, you've applied it. So what does it mean for you to take an action step? Well, here are several action steps you could take to apply this passage if you're reading it on your own. To better listen to God's word the way Jesus teaches in this parable, the first action step I'm taking is I commit this week to pray each day for God to help me understand how to apply his word to my life. So before I read my Bible, I'm going to ask Jesus to open up my spiritual eyes, my spiritual ears, my mind, my heart, so that I can understand his word. The second action step I'm going to take, I also commit to write out a short Hear Journal entry with each of my daily readings. So you're going to do this process that we're going through here with each of your Bible readings. I'm going to highlight the text, explain it, apply it, and see how I'm going to respond. And then last of all, I commit to write down a specific action step of obedience that I can take to respond correctly to the sermons that I hear on Sunday. Pretty simple. Easy way to listen to the Word of God in such a way that you don't just read it and you walk away to forget it, but you're taking it seriously. And you're going to apply it to your life. So I'm challenging all of you in your quiet time with the Lord, the passage you read from Monday up through next Saturday, please read your Bible and do a Hear Journal. Make an attempt. And if you're struggling with this, set up a time with Jesse to come in and say, I just want to get to where I need to be to listen to the Bible the way Jesus wants me to hear his word. And I'm going to come next Sunday, there's a second challenge, and the message I hear from Cody, I'm going to leave this church, I'm going to take time and write down an action step with the sermon that Cody delivers from the Word of God and what it would mean for me to follow that passage in obedience in my life. My wife and I, we often read to our little boy Titus. We have these books, all kinds of books. When we open up these books with stories, his face just lights up and he begins to jump in our lap. And he just really loves story time. And you know why we tell those stories to him? We tell him one reason, one of the main reasons is just to entertain him. He just loves looking at the pictures. He loves seeing our facial expressions and some of the motions we do with the books. When Jesus told parables, he didn't tell stories to entertain. Guys, this parable is a story which Jesus intends for it to get to all of our hearts. You cannot leave here this morning without answering the question Jesus wants you to answer. What kind of soil am I? What kind of soil am I? When I hear the gospel, when I hear the word, am I hard-hearted and it never penetrates? Or am I actually doing something with it? If you're here this morning and you've been coming, but the gospel has never taken root in your heart, please don't leave here without understanding that there's one God who loves you. One day you're going to stand before him to be judged. That's bad news because you're a sinner who's disobeyed him and you deserve spiritual death and eternity separated from him in a literal act of hell, a place of judgment. But God, in his mercy and in his grace, he sent his son into this world who became a man and lived a perfect life, and he died on the cross for you, paying your sin's penalty. All of those things you've done against God, Jesus paid for that in full, dying in your place on the cross. He was buried, and he came back from the dead as our champion over sin, over death. And God offers to all of us, this is Jesus' calling for us to hear, if we will hear that message and be willing to forsake our sin and place our trust in him, commit our life to him, he will forgive us, give us a right relationship with him, and he will change our lives to make us people who live productive lives for him. If you're here this morning and that's never become true for your life, and you want to say yes to Jesus, and you don't really have every answer to what that means, we're going to have a time of response. Would you please come this morning so we can help you? If God's leading you to join this church, would you please come? If you need to make a profession of faith through baptism, saying, I've given my life to Christ, but I've never been obedient to follow him and publicly declare that to the local church, would you please come? Would you please stand this morning? Father, thank you for this word. God, thank you for this calling. God, not just to preach the word, but to hear the word. God, in the way that leads to repentance, faith, and a changed life. Oh God, so many of us are not living the lives we should live, and it's due to the fact that we're not responding to the word the way you've called us to. Oh God, let your word work in our hearts this morning. Draw people to yourself. What kind of soil am I? May everyone answer that question today. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you please come?